account in the Gospel according to Mark. You may recall from previous weeks that Jesus had been teaching on what it means to be unclean, and that there's great concern in the law about what is taken in makes you unclean, and he corrected that to say it's what comes out of you that is unclean. And perhaps maybe these people had heard that teaching or heard of it, that it was different than what most Jewish teachers were teaching at the time. And in these two healing stories, we have Jesus traveling in areas that are well known to be Gentile areas, primarily Greeks. And there was pockets, undoubtedly, of Jewish people living there, and perhaps these were the people Jesus was spending his time near. I suspect that was the case. But he was actively in the midst of Gentile people, not the chosen children of Israel, and he was doing ministry there. And it's important to hear that and remember that, but it's also important to recognize that Jesus is doing something out of the ordinary, which may surprise you. Or maybe it wouldn't. Hopefully it wouldn't. But that is exactly what's happening. So we have these two healing stories, and we begin in verse 24 of chapter 7. And it's from there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. So Jesus has moved into an area that is primarily Gentile. His reputation has still preceded him. He has gone into a house. He's not in the center of town, not in this first healing. The second healing he is in the midst of the Decapolis. But I want to focus more on this first healing account, although the important part is that both are Gentiles receiving the grace of God. And he wants to be sort of undercover. He's trying to be discreet. He's maybe trying to find a little place to rest. So he's in a home and hoping not to be noticed. And in the Gospel according to Mark, Jesus is always trying not to be noticed. The scholars call that the messianic secret, because Mark likes to unveil later who Jesus is. So all along, Jesus is constantly saying, don't tell them, don't tell them. Yet people continually recognize who he is. And in that moment, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. This is a doubling down and understanding that she is not Jewish, she is not chosen, she is a Gentile, has been from her birth, which means her family are Gentiles. There is no chance at any time that this person is living under the covenant that God has given to his people, amen? And she arrives. Not only does she arrive, but she comes forward and begs. She bows at the feet of Jesus and begged him to cast a demon out of her daughter. Now, we can read that and go, yeah, makes sense. I mean, if we could go to a house where Jesus was, we would probably think immediately, I want to go there. I have no problem falling at his feet and begging him for whatever it is my need might be or my desire might be, whether it be for the health of another person or myself. But that's not the situation she's in. Presumably, Jesus is among those who are Jewish like he is Jewish. And this woman has approached Jesus, whom, depending on who you are in this house, you may either know him as a rabbi, or you may consider him a prophet, and some will be seeing him as Messiah, but everyone is in this process of understanding, and one thing we know for sure about those three things is those are things related to the Jewish tradition, and this non-Jewish person has come into the house, which she would not necessarily have been welcome. They are eating, which makes it even worse, by the way. They shouldn't be eating with her. It's a woman on top of everything else at a time where that would certainly not be a welcome thing. And she falls down on her knees before Jesus and begins to beg him. This was extremely inappropriate behavior as far as society was concerned. Society would have been totally against what she was doing. In fact, I suspect when this happened, there was a moment in the house where everybody went, "Who does she think she is? She's not one of us. She can't come in here. She can't be a part of what's happening here. She certainly has no business approaching the teacher in this situation. She didn't belong, period. There's just no other way to view it." And yet, there she was. And I think Jesus knows our heart. Do you agree with that? I've read something about it in this book. And I think he knew her heart then, too. And sometimes, and I don't mean this to offend anybody, but I firmly believe that sometimes Jesus can be just a little on the edge of sarcastic. So knowing all of that, this woman comes in, and he knows, that he heard everybody go, "What's she doing here? She's got no business in here." He says to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Now, many people have heard that and said, "Oh, Jesus is being so insulting, he just called her a dog." No, he's calling us dogs, just for the record, unless, of course, you're of Jewish descent. Because he said, the children are the children of Israel, the Jewish people. The dogs are the Gentiles. And this is his response to her. "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And then she answers, undoubtedly another gasp. She speaks. Clearly, she doesn't know her place. But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Wow. At that point, I suspect there were some people by the door that are going, "Get her out. Somebody get her out." And he says to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." See, I think Jesus knew her heart. I think he knew full well that there was no way she was going to accept that answer, especially considering his previous teachings had started to wash away these lines that had been drawn. And now he has completely washed them away by pouring out his grace on this woman and her child. And we hear the same thing in the other healing, another Gentile to receive the grace of God. And we have to hear that and see that and say, whoa, something's different here, isn't it? Look at the way this Jesus loves. Look at how he responds to this woman who has absolutely no business being where she is, saying what she's saying, doing what she's doing, and here Jesus eggs her on almost, doesn't he? And she stands boldly on the understanding of who he is, and she says, "But wait a minute. Even the dogs get the crumbs from the table." An interesting point was made by one of the scholars I was reading. The dog can access the crumbs at the same time the child's eating. There's no order. It's not of those, these people who've come first and whatever's left over is yours. The problem is it's there, and it's overflowing even. And Jesus is saying to her, "Make my point." And he made his point, which I suspect became wildly unpopular at that moment. But yet there he was, offering his grace and mercy to all people, and at this moment to a woman, a Gentile woman, who is acting very inappropriately as far as society is concerned and going against all of the social norms. And Jesus pours out grace and mercy and healing. The interesting thing is, brothers and sisters, when we read this story, the initial thought is, the daughter was healed, amen? So was mom. She knew she went someplace she wasn't supposed to be. She knew she acted in a way that was not going to be acceptable by society, but in the depth of her heart, she knew who Jesus was and that she would receive his grace and mercy. And she boldly went against the rules and received it. Amen? So maybe, perhaps, for the first time ever, in the face of many of the people who would have been present, those who were chosen, the children, so to speak, she was accepted. See, there's a lesson for both sides, isn't there? There's a lesson for the church, most especially in our understanding of saying, we are here and we belong here. Amen? You don't sound that excited about it. But we belong. We know. God has called us here. How important is it, under the understanding of what happened in this room with Jesus and the way he accepted this person who would have been unacceptable to essentially everyone in the room, and he accepted her. Here's our lesson as the church, isn't it? See, Jesus calls people to him. We don't. Jesus heals. We don't. Jesus decides. We don't. We can accept what he has offered us and move like him in this world and be accepting of all who come, even if the society we're living in says they don't belong, even if we don't know them, even if they don't look like us. What would Jesus do? And he accepts, not just accepts, but pours out his grace and mercy. Other side of the coin. What if she hadn't come in? What if she had bowed down to the pressures of society and said, I don't belong here, I must stay away? Well, thanks be to God, she didn't. What if there was another person involved in the story we know nothing about? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm about to do something that maybe I'm not too sure of, I'll generally talk to somebody about it and say, I'm thinking this is what I should do. What do you think? And a lot of times I go, no, you should keep your mouth shut. And I go, perfect, I'm going to go do that. But what if she had that person in her life and they said to her, you need to stay out of that. You got no business in there. It's not your place. What if somebody said that to her and she listened? She would never know the depth of the healing poured out through Jesus Christ, would she? She would not only have lost her daughter to this demon, she would never have known what it means to be Christ's own. She would only be able to identify herself the way in which society told her she was supposed to be. But she knew more, didn't she? So regardless of how it led up to the moment she was walking in, she walked in. And she did this very bold thing. And she received the fullness of the healing that Jesus offers, reconciliation to God through him. It wasn't just this moment for the casting out of a demon for her daughter. She herself was healed by being able to go into the very presence of God incarnate, Jesus Christ, and be accepted. So if you're on the outside, brothers and sisters, and everything in the world is telling you you don't belong, I'm saying to you today, you do. Not because I'm the authority, but because I can see the actions of the authority. The one who has claimed you as his own says, come. Come and be with me. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I don't care if the people in the know, so to speak, or the people in power say you're unclean. Jesus says to us, you're not. His mercy and grace is for all. So the lesson is both for those who thought they knew to come to know they should know more, and for those who have been living in fear and following what the world has told them and what society has told them, that they don't belong and this is not your place. Jesus is saying, it's your place. Come and receive the healing that he offers. The healing power of knowing that you are his. He says, come. To all. The church needs to be ready to say, welcome. Not decide anything other than to know that God has called. And when someone comes, we welcome. We love. We provide. We nurture. We disciple. We pour out His grace unconditionally. Because that's what He did. And therefore, that's what we do. So come.